From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody. Rob Cairns here. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas for Stunning Digital Marketing. In this podcast, I have Sherry Holub with me, and we're going to talk about the business of WordPress. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. And today I'm here with Sherry Holub. How are you today, Sherry?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Oh, such a pleasure. It's we were talking beforehand, just getting warmed up, thinking what we need to talk to all these wonderful people about today. And I thought we'd start by share with us how you got into WordPress and your kind of your WordPress origin story.
Yeah, definitely. I've been doing this since 1995, so it was kind of pre all of those CMS systems. The first ones that kind of came out were Joomla, yep, and some, you know, kind of off name type things. So we were struggling with that. It was a little difficult to maintain and manage and get it to do, you know, what clients were asking for. And then WordPress came out, and of course we all know it was kind of pitched as a blogging platform. So very early days, it was, you know, like Blogspot. So we didn't really look at it for the first couple years. And then finally, we decided to start playing around with it. And one of my programmers at the time said, yeah, I think I could make this work for a whole website and not just a blog. Mm-hmm. And I forget what year that was. I mean, it's been at least 15 years. So that's kind of how, you know, we kind of stumbled on playing around with it, started building websites with it. You know, very early days, we were using the kind of the framework and the theme that came with it. And it just kind of evolved over the years. So I'd say we're early adopters.
No, that's kind of cool. And you were saying before you were doing sites before, so were you coding them in like HTML and Dreamweaver or something?
Absolutely.
Like that?
Yep. Yeah. Macromedia all the way.
Yeah, you weren't a front page kind of gal, were you? No.
No, no. Originally, like back to 95, I was using, I think Netscape had like a product that I did HTML, and that's how I built my very first website. So
Funny, listeners of this show know that my online experience dates back before the web. So mine goes back to the days of modems and BBSs and that whole culture, which is quite interesting and has just kind of evolved over the years. So it's really interesting to see where all this has gone, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. When I was in college, my roommate and I racked up a $330 bill on Delphi Internet surfing BBSs.
Been there, done that. You know, it was so bad that our phone bill dropped from lots of money to no dollars. And my parents couldn't figure out why, because the computer was still going. Well, you can figure out why the phone bill dropped, can't you?
Yeah. That's funny.
You should talk to guys like Steve Jobs and the legendary Kevin Mitnick, two gentlemen that passed away way too soon, about how those phone bills dropped. Right? So they can tell you.
Yep. Definitely. So. No, there's a whole difference when you're that old school and you remember that, you know, you live through like the AOL Wild West, like, yeah, it's interesting to see the evolution over the years.
Yep. I lived through the Wild West. We're the only ones online together, all the colleges and universities across the world, and using a network called BitNet. And the and Centennial College in Toronto got pulled all their students off BitNet after some wonderful student decided to send a bomb threat to Tel Aviv. And now you know how that would go over in today's world with everything going on over there.
Right? Oh, my. Yeah.
And that ended that discussion for a long time there because of one wonderful person. But that's another story for another day. So you've kind of got into it that way. And when, and you said you were into building websites pre-WordPress. When did this really become a viable business for you? Right away pre-WordPress, or was WordPress a tool on the journey, or just a tool that made it happen?
I would say, you know, I kind of hit the ground running in 1995. That was the year I graduated from UCLA School of Art. And, you know, with an art degree, you know, I didn't want to go that route of like being the artist, but I was already doing graphic design on a freelance level. So I had some clients doing that. And then in 1995, a friend of mine said, yeah, my vocal coach wants a website. Is that something you do? And I said, sure, without even knowing how to code HTML. So I kind of so I kind of learned on the go, you know, how to do that. And amazingly enough, that I still work with that woman. She's still a client after all these years.
Oh wow.
So yeah, from word go, I kind of ran things a little differently than like the typical startup, you know. I formed the company and everything, and I was hiring independent contractors to do things that I couldn't. And that was about a couple years in. I realized I can't do all this myself. So I'm going to have to, you know, pull in other people. But once WordPress came out and we started building websites with that, we could see the future unfolding pretty much. We're like, this is next level, you know. And we've gone through a couple evolutions with it since then, not just, you know, from the platform and the programming standpoint, but the use standpoint and how our clients use that. Everybody pretty much knows the word WordPress, right? And they know, you know, if they're in a business, they pretty much know, okay, there's a back end, we can log into it, things like that. So we had a bunch of clients. This was, I don't know, maybe like 6 or so years ago, who, you know, they would ask for it by name. They would want content manager. They want to be able to log in and make updates. So we'd build them this thing.
And they never do, right?
Exactly. They would never log in. And we're like, okay, so what do we do now? How about let's create a, you know, a monthly retainer for these folks low enough price that they'll all buy in, and they don't have to log in at all. They don't care. They're running their business. So that was really a game changer. So, you know, we have a ton of clients doing that now, and that keeps us busy. Every new client that comes in, I would say 9 out of 10 times, they sign on for that, you know, that additional service. So, it's not only great, it's not only a great platform for just functionality now, it's a great platform for small businesses like me, even freelancers, other businesses to, you know, keep working with clients. You know, it's kind of a doorway you can open, and then it's just a two-way street where, you know, the better the product is, the more that, you know, it helps you out and it helps your clients. So it's a great product. We wouldn't even really look at another content management system at this point. We're aware of, you know, different systems and have poked around a couple just to be aware of what's going on, but we still over the years, we've always gone back to WordPress.
The same with me. And it's kind of funny when you talk about that. And you guys, you were saying before we went to record, you do mostly custom coding and custom building, and you stay away from off-the-rack templates, which there's a place for. I mean, there's no question. Yep. Have you stayed away? So you don't use a traditional page builder. Have you stayed away from the whole Gutenberg ecosystem, or have you gone there, or what's your... I have to ask the question.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know which way the winds are blowing, and we have played around with it a lot. Mm-hmm. But what we came up with is such a simpler user interface that when we've played around with Gutenberg blocks so far, we just can't get it to be as simple as what we've come up with. So while we're playing around with it, you know, obviously that's the way things are going. And, you know, we want to be on the tippy top of what's going on with the technology, but, you know, we still think there's improvement to be made on it, especially with the UI that could make that, you know, way better. So we're hanging back a little bit on that, and keep kind of treading our own path.
Yeah, it's interesting because I used a traditional page builder. I used page builders before they became traditional. Anybody remembers Headway themes back in the day? They were, unfortunately, miles ahead of the time, and the community wasn't ready for it at the time. So that was part of it. And then you dipped into, we all know the Beaver builders, the Divis, the, you know, choose one. Bricks to, I'm leaving a pile out. And then we kind of watched the Gutenberg, and a lot of the people that use the traditional page builder, the Beaver builders, etc., say they don't want to go to Gutenberg. And what they're really saying is they don't want to invest the time into going to Gutenberg because they can build it faster than what they already know than making a switch versus whether it's good or it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, and you're probably in the same boat, I would think, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, in a way, we're open to using it if it works as like a really great solution for us. And right now it's not. So, you know, and we'll keep checking in on it. Right.
Yeah. Each to his own. I mean, I don't know if I've shared this with you, but I did it the hard way. I took a live site that had over 200 blog posts, my own, and move that site away from a page builder piece by piece. Yeah, I know.
Having done stuff like that, I know how it is. We've moved Squarespace sites to WordPress, and that was a headache and a half. That it had to be hand done. There was no import export that worked.
Yeah. And since you've brought up Squarespace, a dirty word in our space. Wix, another dirty word in our space. Shopify, another dirty word in our space. We'll bring them all up. We'll just throw it
out. That's the trio of terror right there.
The reason for not using one of those is if your hosting goes bad, you have nowhere to go. Like, let's be honest, like, forget all the other reasons, but if the hosting goes bad, you have nowhere to go. Whereas in WordPress, if your hosting goes bad, you pick up your website and drop it on another host, because your host should be your partner, not the people you pay and tell them to go away. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm in agreement there. You know, one of my selling points for WordPress is that, you know, as opposed to things like Squarespace and Wix and Shopify, you know, you're on their rented land. Uh-huh. Whereas with WordSpace, you choose where you want to set that, you know. And like you said, it's completely portable. You can up and leave, or, you know, take it. Your whole site isn't dependent on a singular platform. So it's kind of my same line of thinking of this, the very small businesses who say, well, I have a Facebook page. I'm like, well, then you have pretty much nothing. You have nothing that's yours, you know, for your business. So those other, like Squarespace and everything, are very similar to that, where, you know, if anything happened to that, or, you know, your whole thing is gone, your website is gone, all the money and effort you spent on building that, you can't take it anywhere else. If you decide that that's, it's not working for you, which I get it, I'd say at least 50 or 60% of our clients come from that space where they've tried to build their site with Wix or Squarespace. And then they're like, I can't get it to do what I want. It's frustrating. I've spent all my weekends trying to, you know, build this site. And I'm like, well, the bad news is that you spent all that time and you can't do anything. It's not recoverable. You know, you can't take what you've built there and like try and apply it somewhere else. You got to start fresh. So that's something that I don't think a lot of people really realize when they get into that, and they think like, oh, this is cool. It's an all-in-one thing. You know, I just pick this template. I run with that. I fill in my content. That's fine if that's, you know, as far as you go with customizing or whatnot. There's a, like I said, there's a place for everything, but for the most part, I don't recommend those type of things simply because of, you know, all those pitfalls.
Yep. Now it's funny, in our space, everybody says, oh, you should run Woo, i.e. WooCommerce, but Woo's the new name, so we might as well get used to using it. But when you say to them, you should run CRM, so stuff like Fluent CRM or Groundhog, they say, don't do it because the website backend can't handle it. But the same people say, go and run Woo. I don't understand that thinking. And what they're really saying is you should be buying a proper host that can handle all the stuff. But that's, you know, how's your thoughts to running things inside of WordPress?
The least you can get away with, the better. Even when you're on like the most amazing host, just because of conflicts, things like that. All of these plugins and add-ons are, you know, they're made by different people. So it's, you know, the more you add in there, the more there's potential for something to go wrong. When it comes to WooCommerce, I mean, I do like the direction they've gone with the latest updates, where they've changed how their database, you know, formats. Of course, getting all of the sites up to that, you know, it's going to be interesting, but at least it's a step in the right direction. It's more optimized than what it was running. But it's a heavy, heavy thing. You cannot run WooCommerce on a shared host at a mass market, you know, Bluehost or something. You can't. You're just asking for trouble. But
you have to go to a host that's a managed WordPress host, or a host that provides managed WooCommerce. Because my experience has been, I've got a project I'm working on now that has over 300 variable products. How's that? And it's running Woo, and it's running fine, but I'm on a high-end WooCommerce optimized host for that project specifically.
We've got a site who sells flags, actually, that is like that. Hundreds of mix and match products that we've also got a custom plugin that we wrote to dynamically show the price on the fly. So very complex. Also running about 30 other plugins. We've got e-commerce clients that have a couple thousand products, you know, running WooCommerce. So it just the host is critical there. Absolutely critical. And then having someone in the back end that knows what they're doing is also critical. You know, someone like us, someone like you, who can manage all of those plugins and all of those functionalities for you.
Yeah. And not giving the business owner admin rights because it's their website and they ask for it, because I guarantee you they're going to hit something and it's going to go boom. And then when they get a big bill, they're going to say, what's wrong with this picture? Well,
you know. Yeah. That's the thing. And it's tough. As a small business owner myself, I understand that need to have access, or, you know, have your finger in that pie because it's your thing and you have to know what's going on. But there's really something to letting go and finding that trusted partner for your business. And that's kind of how I sell our services, is that, you know, we're always looking out for you. We have your best interests in mind. And you don't have to worry about that. So,
what's your most popular service right now, Sherry?
I would say still custom design. I mean, the fact that we do custom design is very appealing to a lot of people, especially ones who have used one of those other services or had worked with a developer who just kind of, you know, put their logo on a theme and didn't really, you know, they wanted more. So while there's plenty of space for that, you know, quickly getting a site out, getting something up, getting it running, getting the marketing right. And you can, of course, do that with a template. There's no question. If your marketing is sound, it's going to work. But there's a whole ton of people that really like that kind of hands-on, custom-crafted approach. And that's still kind of our best seller, that and the maintenance that goes with it.
The maintenance is always a good seller,
yeah,
I would say. If you were to change one thing in the WordPress ecosystem, what would you like to change, if you have anything?
Oh, man. well, I there's always room for change, you know. And it's tough to just nail down like one thing. I mean, I could throw out there and say, like, you know, working on the user interface for Gutenberg would be great, you know, making that more foolproof. But yeah, I guess, I mean, I could hit that hot button of just being like more inclusive and diversify, you know, just from the community standpoint, because that's a big, you know, hot button right now. And I think that's important. You know, a lot of different voices haven't been heard and can contribute, you know, great information and knowledge and expertise. So there's that. But I mean, as far as WordPress itself, you know, I think the more it's used, the more it's developed, the more the internet changes, you know, and the needs of people who are using the sites, I think they're pretty on top of changing as things need to change. So that's one of the things that kept us coming back to WordPress, is it wasn't something that seemed dead in the water.
It's true. I would think in 2024, it's probably going to be the year where WordPress goes over 50% of the internet. Like, I think it's coming.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, that's just fathoming that, you know, when they started, that it would go that high. But I think the acceptance level is gone that high. And I think a lot of it is being able to have control over your data and have control over where things are at and be able to play that game instead of, you know, if you have a Wix or a Squarespace, you don't really have control over where that data sits or how it's managed, or how do you confirm to, if you're in Europe, to GDPR, or in the US, some of the big data privacy laws, or in Canada, some of those laws. So, you know, it gets hard, right? So
that's a huge pitfall for Shopify.
Yeah.
With the data stuff. And a lot of people don't know that either. And you're tied to their e-commerce platform typically. So
you can't change their payment processor. Well, you can, but then they say, we're going to charge you 2% more if you do.
Like, right. So, yeah. So most people choose, no, we're going to just, you know, use yours. So, yeah.
So there's that. If you had a crystal ball, and we've talked about change a little bit, what would you like to see sooner than later? Like, if you could wave a magic wand and say, fix this now, what is it?
When it comes to WordPress or just?
Yeah, just generally.
I would, going back to, you know, what we've been talking about with the hosting, I would really like for WordPress itself to mention more about like requirements of hosts, you know, just because that would solve so many problems for not just developers, but for the people using the sites, for the companies, the small businesses, the nonprofits. When they're at that better host, things are going to run so much smoother. But, you know, we have so many of the hosts saying, yeah, just one click WordPress, you know, one click install from cPanel from our $1.99 a month hosting, you know, and it gives people this false sense that they can just, you know, run that. That would be tough.
And host should not be your email provider. Let's get that established right away. In my prior life in healthcare, one of the things I did was exchange administration. And I said to somebody this morning, I don't care to run email hosting, if you like. So one of the things I say is, I will not manage your email. I suggest you go manage your email somewhere else. But if you choose to manage your email from your web host, you are on your own. I am not. Google's got workspaces. Microsoft's got their own email hosted if you want to go there. My email host of choice is an Australian company called Fastmail. They're privacy-based. There's a couple other solutions like that, but hosts aren't good email providers.
No, that's a clear case of, you know, the jack of all trades, master of none, when the hosts start doing everything. Yeah. And I'm the same way. I mean, my email policy is that, look, that's not our forte. We, you know, our host doesn't do email, of course. They're strictly hosting. But you know, they will help set up somebody with a Google or a Microsoft, whatever they're calling it these days, Office or whatnot. They'll help set it up for you, but you know, running it and any kind of technical issues, you have to go to Microsoft or you have to go to Google and hit them up about it. It's just not in my wheelhouse at all.
Yeah. Has your agency jumped into the world of AI, or have you avoided it like the plague?
That's another kind of interesting topic, the AI thing. My personal viewpoint of it, and you know, I've seen all the Terminator movies, so I know how AI can be interpreted to the extreme. But yeah. I think it's a tool, just like anything else. Yep. You know. But when it comes to the specific services we provide, you know, custom design, custom copywriting, you know, custom logo, everything is custom. It doesn't really fit in that box for that, but could still use it as a tool for like ideas or prompts. And the way people have been using things like ChatGPT or Bard or any of the other ones out there have been really fascinating to me, even on a personal level. You know, I saw somebody put in, you know, give me some gluten-free recipes for the whole week, you know, or a meal plan for the whole week, and it spat out something, you know, things like that. It's a great tool for that. I just don't believe in, you know, just pushing the button to generate content, you know, like, full stop, like you don't change it at all. I think that there's a clear need that a human has to also interact with that in some fashion.
I would agree. But many of us have been using AI in terms of Photoshop buttons for years. Many of us have been using AI in a service called Grammarly. I mean,
you know, Grammarly.
Grammarly's
AI they weren't calling it. They weren't calling it AI at the time until it got really popular. Now it's all AI. Yeah.
So there's a lot going on in that space. And the other thing is the whole thing around copyright. The courts have ruled and are now being appealed on what goes on and so on and so forth. So that's I don't think Getty Images is very happy with AI today.
No. And I mean, since I have that art background, there's that angle too, where I'm like, there is still something about somebody who actually paints a picture or, you know, crafts something from scratch. But that's a whole other, you know, that's a whole other world pretty much now. Like it's there's in between, and then there's full AI, and there's different applications and uses for each one. And again, you know, there's room enough for all of it, but it comes down to personal choice and whether it'll really work for, you know, the kind of marketing that humans can come up with all on their own remains to be seen.
Even the Beatles figured out the world of AI, right? They put out a song that went to number one, all AI generated.
That's pretty recent too.
Yep. Just one, I hate to say it, one of many probably. I mean, you know, it's going to happen more and more, I think.
Yeah. The thing I think that is going to be weird is when you can't detect like what, if that was generated, and we're already there. You know, it's like for most of the part, since I've been using Photoshop, since Photoshop came out, I can tell like, okay, was this, you know, was this done by somebody or was this one of those AI things? And usually I can tell just because there's something not real about it. You know, there's just something more fantastical about it. But yeah, I mean, we're in that world now. We're having to deal with, you know, even with when it comes to news media and stuff, things like that can be
generated by AI. A whole new ball game.
It's insanely influential, and it can be used for good or bad.
The whole thing about news media, it's all about what people want you to hear and what you not want to hear. And interesting, in today's world, news media is more opinion and fact than it's ever been. It's like, it just, I'm sorry, if I want people's opinions, I can jump on X, formerly known as Twitter, and get opinions. I don't have to watch an hour news show at night at 6 o'clock anymore. Like,
oh, seriously,
And I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the time to record, the Canadian government and Google just settled for $100 million a year to traditional news media outlets so Google can keep sharing Canadian news on their platform. We have this thing called the Online News Act that says either you pay up or you basically shut up.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Australia's gone that road as well. They were the first one. So we're the second. It's a bit of an interesting mess. Is there anything else you wanted to sort of chat about WordPress or anything like that, or development that's on your mind?
No, I think just that there is a place for everybody in, you know, WordPress and in online services. And I know a lot of people can get discouraged thinking that, I can't learn this, or I'm too old for this, or, you know, whatever. But there is space for a whole bunch of different perspectives and approaches. And I think that's what makes just the internet and what we do such a great thing.
And there are older people in this space. There's no question. And
I am.
I'm already there, too. So, you know, I think about a good friend, Mr. Bob Dunn, who runs the Do the Woo podcast, and Bob's going to kill me, but I think Bob's 65. Like, it's just, there are older people in this space. Hey, Bob, don't shoot me next time you see me, but that's another story. Sherry, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to talk about design, development, custom work, what's the best way?
Definitely hit up our website. It's just jvmediadesign.com.
There. Thank you very much, Sherry. You have yourself an awesome day.
Thank you, Rob. You as well.
Thank you. This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com. your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Sherry for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.